Since the dawn of the 21st century, scientific discovery has rushed forward at lightning speed. Genetics, physics, computerized technology, robotics, virtual reality. Join Derek and Sharon Gilbert as they uncover the truths behind this ultimate scientific deception. Get ready for Sci Friday.
Using games to train AI. Now that's what we call Sci Friday from Skywatch TV. Welcome, I'm Derek Gilbert. Joining me, can I introduce you to my best friend? Our science advisor and the author of the Red Wing Saga, Sharon K. Gilbert.
Hello. Oh, sweetie pie, you're so wonderful. I love you. And I'm glad that you're not a robot.
Well, yeah, although there are places in the world where that kind of relationship is becoming more and more normal.
It's preferred by some people these days.
Yeah.
Glad they're not in the majority.
When I was a teenager, I was awkward enough that I, you know, socially, still not, you know, really comfortable in big social gatherings. I get it. I understand why kids who don't fit in, you know, really intelligent, geeky sorts of people would think, okay, this is a really great alternative to having to actually talk to a girl because that's scary. But that's not how God designed us.
No, not at all.
And you really only become who you're supposed to be when you're in a relationship where, as you've said it before, and I think this is a beautiful way of putting it, you see yourself in the eyes of someone who really loves you, because then suddenly you say, wow, I didn't know I was that. You've been that all along. It's just you didn't see that. And that's that enemy whispering in your ear. You're not smart enough. You're not handsome enough. You're not pretty enough. You're whatever.
You're not young enough.
Right. So anyway, yeah, that I get that. I'm glad you're not a robot either.
Well, the thing is that that the internet and social media and online interactions are replacing the community that we are designed to interact with.
In a lot of ways.
And that includes these multiplayer platform online gaming systems. One of those systems is called Dota, D-O-T-A, and Dota 2, which is the follow-up to that game. These are massive online player games that where you role-play. And in Dota, you choose your hero, and that's the character that you play throughout the game, and you play with four others. So it's a team of five playing against another team of five. Well, artificial intelligences are now being trained using that platform, that very platform, Dota 2, and the team of five artificial intelligences play against five humans, and they win more than 95% of the time, they being the AIs. Not only is it training the AIs to see humans as their adversaries, it's also training AIs to see one another as competition.
Right.
Because within the team of five, the say your five heroes come up against an enemy from the other side, and you're battling away. The last hammer strike, the last sword strike, whatever the last hit is, that's the killing blow. That person gets the most gold. Because that's the system. You get food and gold in the game. By the way, it's free to play online, which sounds really good to your child until the child realizes in order to really advance, you need lots of gold, which you can buy through the app. So beware if your child is playing these games. You may have a bill skyrocket, but or the child may be asked to perform acts within that game to get lots of gold. But the last person to hit is the one who gets the big reward, which means you're competing with your fellow players.
Right. Now, Dota is a is an acronym. It stands for Defense of the Ancients. It was originally developed as an expansion pack for Warcraft 3. Now, I'm not familiar with this because it's been a long time since I played video games. Frankly, I never really found them that interesting once we got past the basic, you know, whatever. I don't even, ColecoVision or whatever, years and years ago. Because I've always been too busy. I've always felt like, okay, I can't devote this much time to doing this. I did spend time playing.
And they're like black holes. I mean, once you start into that world, you get pulled in.
Right. As we discovered, because years ago, for my birthday one year, you gave me Civilization, which is a wonderful game, very intriguing. But it sucked me in where I spent 16 straight hours playing that game and not spending time with you or our daughter.
It was sort of the equivalent when you were a little boy and your mother would come up and you'd be under the covers with a flashlight reading, Derek, go to sleep, you have school tomorrow.
Exactly. So I realized that this is a snare for me, and so I've just avoided this. There were times when I would play, you know, Super Smash Brothers with Nicole or whatever, just as a way to have some father-daughter time, but these are not the same kind of games that are being used in scenarios like this. We did play, as I recall. In fact, Nicole and I, when she was younger, and this was when I was walking a different walk, a game that strikes me as very similar to Warcraft and Defense of the Ancients and Dota 2, called Heroes of Might and Magic. It was a PC game. We used to play regularly, and I was kind of, I wouldn't say addicted to it, but I enjoyed playing it. You know, now my you know, getaway is fantasy baseball. I play in Dr. Michael Heiser's league. And not doing so well.
Those grumpy cats.
Yeah, my team. Being put on my fantasy baseball team is a sure way for a major league player to go on the disabled list.
Almost your entire team.
But the thing is, it's drawing a lot of kids into these situations where you're playing as a character from mythology or fantasy fiction. There are a lot of tropes that are brought in here from Greek and Roman mythology, which if you watch this program or Skywatch TV for any length of time, you know is just repackaged Canaanite, Mesopotamian, Amorite religion.
Exactly.
Fantasy tropes from various fiction authors, Lovecraftian, and gothic horror and other things.
Very much so. And I just want everybody to understand the game that Derek played with Nicole when she was really young, World of Might and
Heroes of Might and Magic.
Heroes of Might and Magic. He would never play that with anyone today.
No, no. Again, it was...
Again, it was in the very early stages of your walk with the Lord. And here's the thing. Within churches now, there are things that have just been rebranded that are nothing more than paganism and magic.
Right.
And games, especially online games like we're talking about, they are huge vehicles for rebranding and retraining your child's brain.
Yes.
And that's one reason that these AIs are trying to learn how to be human.
Right.
But at the same time, these games, and I love Daniel, who's running our cameras today, he said when he was in the military, this gaming systems, they were used to dehumanize you. So somewhere in the middle, the AIs becoming human, the humans becoming inhuman, we're going to meet in the middle.
It's disturbing on a number of levels. We've talked about this before, where the dehumanizing of an enemy has long been a goal of military, because they found in World War I that soldiers, even when the enemy was charging at them, tended to either not shoot or shoot above or away from the enemy because they just could not bring themselves to take another human life.
Right.
Even though these enemy soldiers were running across no man's land at them, it was very difficult for soldiers, something like 15%, a very low percentage of soldiers actually shot at the enemy, because they were training them by shooting at human targets. When the military, the United States military, went to shooting at, they were shooting at bullseyes to train soldiers. When they went to shooting at human silhouettes for targets, suddenly they noticed the percentage of soldiers willing to shoot an enemy went up, even though you would not confuse a human silhouette for an actual human. Now, translate that to today, where you've got kids playing first-person shooters, where you're looking through a scope at a very lifelike 3D avatar on a screen.
Yes.
And the military is using things like that to also train soldiers. So there is a dehumanizing aspect to these games, whether they're being used by military or not. Our kids are playing these games.
Currently, weapons in the field, many of them are remotely operated. So you've got a drone that is remotely operated.
Almost like playing
But again, it's got a human behind it. If that human is unwilling to pull the trigger, the military is now trying very hard to replace all human interactions with at least a semi-autonomous artificial intelligence on the other end.
Right.
It eventually will become totally autonomous. They will communicate with one another. I am not making this up. It's already happening. And now the military wants to take us to what's called cislunar activity.
Okay, cislunar.
From the ground to the moon.
Yeah, as opposed to translunar outside the lunar
orbit. No, it's cislunar, which between here, the Earth, and the moon. Everything in between is essentially our domain.
That's the next.
Our being whoever claims it first.
Yeah, the American, Chinese, Russian, Japanese.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the idea of flag following trade. Wherever your businesses go,
right.
The military goes. And right now there are lots of businesses that are going into space. So our military is following to protect them.
That's right. There's plans that are being developed and drawn up to mine the moon.
Yes.
And either move the minerals back to the United States back to Earth, or use them as factories on the moon to then propel space exploration outward into translunar space, Mars and beyond. So, yeah, this has always been the way. You look at the growth of the British Empire in the 18th centuries, 19th centuries, it was the same thing. Military, the flag, following trade.
Well, let me explain to you and to our viewers what is now being developed. There is the low Earth orbit, LEO domain, within that cislunar realm, is going to be populated by microsatellites. And these microsatellites are, the plan right now is to make sure that the satellite and the payload, the delivery system, doesn't cost more than, say, $6 million per unit. And the plan is to put about 200 of them into this LEO orbit so that they can communicate with one another. And the other part of this is that they will probably use a communication system either similar to something called Blackjack or to something called Laredo. These are both means of detecting very small things within their purview. Laredo, for instance, uses laser, it stands for laser sheet anomaly resolution and debris observation. In other words, it takes a very low power, like a 5-watt laser, and fans it out in a big sheet so it can visualize alterations or anomalies within that sheet of light.
Okay, okay.
Anything that comes into it, even if it's very, very tiny, will disturb that sheet of light.
I use that technique when I'm trying to find things on the floor with a flashlight. Oh, there's the shadow there. There's the screw that I'm missing.
Me too. This will allow, say, the International Space Station, if they have something that hits them from the side, to determine with that Laredo system, it was caused by this piece of debris because our low Earth orbit and middle Earth orbit, the middle Earth, where there are hobbits, they are filled with debris. Now, let me add to that a statement recently made by the head of our Air Force, who said that we need to demonstrate our capability, military capability of anti-satellite systems. China and Russia have been demonstrating this for the past few years. And they are even wargaming in Earth shadow. Anytime the Earth, because when the moon is between us and the sun, there's a penumbra behind us, so there's this shadowy area. So in that area, it's very difficult to discern what's going on with satellite imagery and with radar systems. So in that little shadow, Russia and China have been playing war games with their own movable satellites. In other words, the satellite can sneak up on another satellite.
They're not just orbiting, they're actually maneuverable.
Which I believe is the real reason for this Laredo system. It isn't to detect the debris out there, it's to detect another microsatellite.
Yes. Well, flag follows trade, and this is the next frontier. This is the ocean and of the 21st century. Well, we'll continue discussing this and what role this training of AI through massive online role-playing games has to do with all of this when SciFriday continues after this.
The harvest field is widening, and we have an unprecedented opportunity to reach a lost generation during what may be our final years here on Earth. SkyWatch TV is proud to announce the Everyday Champions Ultimate Collection. This unbelievable collection includes Everyday Champions, where you'll discover the most overlooked spiritual gifts in the Bible. Learn to identify and operate in your own supernatural, God-given gifting. Discover what Paul actually meant when he wrote about the uncomely parts of the body of Christ. You'll meet real-life champions whose small investments equal huge contributions to the kingdom of God. And I personally share my experiences in both authentic and superficial religious institutions. In this timely collection, you'll also receive the Everyday Champions 4-week Skywatch television series on DVD, including interviews with Ali Anderson, myself, Joe Horn, Derek Gilbert, Dr. Thomas Horn, and Donna Howell. But we're just getting started. You'll also receive Ali Anderson's new book, Unscrambling the Millennial Paradox, which is already being described as a definitive and urgent analysis regarding so-called unreachable millennials as key to the future of the church. You'll discover what devastating modern epidemics are sweeping our youth away from God, and what believers can do to intervene. How modern identity politics and economic stressors have robbed our youth of an opportunity to confront their destiny, and the real reason millennials are leaving the church, and what the body of Christ can do to reverse this trend before it's too late. This incredible collection also includes the Unscrambling the Millennial Paradox 13-week Teacher's Guide PDF on disk, perfect for small group discussion, church curricular use, teaching or preaching series, personal use or education. But we're still not done. At Skywatch TV, we are committed to reaching this generation with solid biblical teaching, which is why we're including free, that's right, free, the beautiful, classically oversized, Strong Systematic Theology 3-volume set. These large books are perfect for the researcher in your life and hold a retail value all by themselves of $150. Yours now for a limited time, absolutely free, when you order the Everyday Champions Ultimate Collection. Sold separately, this huge assortment holds a retail value of $250. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. Now's your chance to be part of what may be the greatest awakening the world has ever seen. Order the Everyday Champions Ultimate Collection online now at the Skywatch TV store or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to Sci Friday from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert along with Sharon K. Gilbert.
Hi, sweetie pie. Hey, guess what? You can still get it.
The big deal.
Yeah, the big deal. By the way, the big deal, almost all the books are here. The big deal is going to have some books in it, of course. The big deal,
which
with
includes,
Realms of Fire.
Yes.
Which is right here. You can currently, I can never get it off the desk. You can currently get this on Amazon only.
Right.
But it is shipping now to our studio. It will arrive here soon, and once everything that goes in this package is here, you will get the announcement, and boy, you'll be off to the races.
Yeah. Realms
and it
of
is
Fire.
A really, really good deal.
Tom Horn is incredible that he's willing to put together these offers, and it will be worth your while to watch for that deal. We've got the Best of Sci Friday Volume 2 in hand. Of course, the first four novels in the Red Wing saga are here as well. Waiting on my new book, Bad Moon Rising, Islam, Armageddon, and the Most Diabolical Double Cross in History.
Oh, I know. That'll be here soon. So stay tuned. And right. We don't even need an AI to talk to you. You actually talk to a human being.
Yes, when you call in to order at the Skywatch TV store.
So now back to these satellites that are in low Earth orbit. These microsatellites are going to communicate. They're essentially going to form a mesh network.
Right, and the military's been experimenting with things like that for a while now. The Navy tested out a system of interactive small drones that they call a swarm of drones.
Swarm of drones.
Which, oddly enough, they worked up an acronym worked up a name that gave it the acronym LOCUST, which makes sense. But it's designed to overwhelm the defense of an enemy ship or an enemy installation because there are just so many coming at it, and they're so small that the enemy guns can't take them all out, or the enemy anti-missile defenses. So this is just sort of transferring that concept into outer space. And
Sort of. And these low Earth orbit microsatellites, again, they're replaceable. So if something goes wrong, then you can replace it relatively. $6 million, frankly, is pretty cheap to the military. But they would communicate with one another. They would communicate with the ground. They would look out towards the moon to see what's coming at us. And there might even be the capability to have an effect on board. Effects to the military, essentially anything from providing satellite communications to delivering a payload of guns to shooting at you to giving you a suite.
Well, yeah. the use of lasers to you know, diffused laser to track incoming material. If that laser were focused, it could also burn a hole in a key component of an enemy satellite.
Well, that's the thing. These are low-powered lasers that are planned. At least that's the plan.
Yeah.
But you know that whatever we are told in the mainstream media, whatever DARPA or military websites will tell you is going on, that they're keeping their secrets. I mean, the fact is you do not let the Russians and the Chinese or whoever else, whatever country you consider a threat, mm-hmm. you don't let them know what's really in your back pocket.
Right.
So you know that there are capabilities beyond just having a low-powered laser on board.
Right. Now, this is something that Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis has been writing about and warning about for quite some time. His book, Future War, is really important reading for anyone who really wants to understand where this is all going and how it fits into Bible prophecy, which is what makes Colonel McGinnis's work so unique.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. Even though the danger of these lethal autonomous weapon systems, especially when you marry things like this or robots or rail guns or whatever and turn it over to an AI that's empowered to make its own decisions, you run the risk of creating the Terminator scenario, the Skynet scenario.
That's exactly what is risked here. If you have an artificial intelligence or a team that have learned to work together playing a game, a team, say, of five artificial intelligence programs, they can run not only the communication network, they can run any military applications that are up there, they can run and communicate with any military assets that are down here,
mm-hmm.
and they could, these entities, or a single entity, because let's say that they decide they don't like one another and one of them is the big winner after the big war,
mm-hmm.
we would be in the middle of the AI war, by the way,
mm-hmm.
and that's assuming just one country manages this. If you have, let's say, three big countries or more who manage to achieve this at the same time, this will be a massive world war amongst the AIs to see who comes out on top.
Right. Now, let's add another twist to this, which we love to do. What if, because we speculated on this before, and in fact, Mark Biltz, who we'll be talking to on a future program for Skywatch TV, that'll be in June, on his book, Decoding the Antichrist, gets into some speculation that you and I have engaged in here. With the, what if these independent autonomous thinking machines are overshadowed or overwhelmed by external intelligences, demons, and become the means by which the life is given to the image of the beast? Could similar intelligences then take over these autonomous weapons systems? And what if the whole point of this is not, as we think, to protect our financial interests, our business potential on the moon, but to create a global defense system against the Messiah who will return in the clouds with great glory?
I think that's a very, very good question. I mean, the other thing is that we've talked on here about input, output, and black box.
That's
essentially an algorithm, the idea that you put in code, you see what happens, and somewhere in the middle it works, and you don't know why. That's mm-hmm. the so-called black box. How do we know that the demons aren't already there?
In the black box, yes, because the experts who feed the data into these algorithms don't know. Mm-hmm. They admit they don't know what's mm-hmm. happening inside the black box.
Okay, the day may come, okay, I don't want to eat data anymore. I need something a little more substantive than just data.
Something chewy.
I mean, if these AIs really are essentially constructs or matrices that can host a demonic entity,
mm-hmm.
then why would they not eventually turn to the humans and say, now you have to sacrifice to me if you want me to keep going, or if you don't want me to kill you?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's speculative, of course, and I know that naturalists would view the conversation we're having here, interpret it as the two of us having lost our minds. But when you look at the evidence of the eyewitnesses, that those who saw the risen Christ, it's mm-hmm. like, okay, well, that's one of the best attested events in all of classical history. So we've got to admit the possibility that there could be something supernatural happening in the realm of what we call science. I think the idea, the very idea that science and the supernatural are mutually incompatible is a deception.
Mm-hmm.
A deception.
Well, let's get back to DOTA and
yes.
the game that these five artificial intelligences were training on together. One of the characters you can play, and this is typical of the various heroes you can choose as your avatar as you play, is Mars.
Mars, the god of war, yeah.
It's the return of the old gods.
It truly
so
is.
So these artificial intelligences are learning that we want the return of the old gods. They want to play as an old god.
Yeah.
And AI, I want to be Mars.
And there are other games out there that are drawing kids in to these ancient concepts. There's one called Sumer that was launched a couple of years ago in which the...
Sumer as in Sumeria?
Right. The point is to please the goddess Inanna, Ishtar, Astarte in the Bible, the goddess of sex and war.
Yeah, it's actually Sumer. Sumerian is the...
Sumerian, right. Yeah,
yeah.
Sumer is the culture.
S-U-M-E-R, in case you're wondering.
So you have to bring your sacrifices to Inanna to make her happy. Another one called Abzu, which is the Sumerian word for abyss. And the god of the abyss was Enki, lord of the earth, who sent forth the Apkallu, which is what the Mesopotamians called the Watchers.
There are a lot of games and films and TV shows and comic books that your kids are consuming that you know nothing about. Honestly, Derek and I, we try to keep our tabs on all of this all the time, but neither one of us was aware of this game DOTA until we read about the AIs being trained on it.
And it's not even a new thing. It's
because we never played World of Warcraft.
No, it's become the most popular game on Steam, which is a popular online game playing engine that players use. And so it is... getting a following, gaining a following, but again, very mystical, theological concepts that are and tropes that are being used in this game to draw kids in. And again, AIs are being trained and learning what humans are likely to do in certain situations.
Well, when I went to the DOTA website and took a look at their characters and how the game is played, and they have videos there you can watch that are really compelling, and you just think, boy, this looks so interesting. If I were a 10-year-old,
yeah.
I would probably look at that and go, I can play for free?
Yeah.
Well, yes.
Yeah. It's how they get you drawn in, but remember... As with everything else in life, there is no free lunch.
No.
The developers are getting something out of it by offering it for free, just
that is
like
so
social
true.
Media and other games and so on.
Let's just remind you at the very end that as scary as all of this sounds, the bottom line is that the Lord God Almighty has known all along
right.
that there would be AIs, there would be training, that we would reach this scientific level that you have to ask yourself, will anybody be left alive
yes,
when he finally returns?
Well, the answer to that question, of course, is yes. And be prepared. Know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Again, he's known all of this, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
Amen.
Yeah. Well,
amen.
We thank you for watching as we keep watch. With Sharon Gilbert, I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is Sci Friday from SkyWatch TV.